covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
It's a pretty simple formula. The Brewers showed it off this week. This is a really good baseball team. I know I'm breaking news there. I'm really stepping out on a limb. But we can say officially, it could be one of the best the Brewers have ever had. Fastest to 40 wins in franchise history. Today was game number 64 for the crew. They win 12-4 over the Colorado Rockies. A 7-run sixth inning, and they coasted from there, even added a few more in the ninth, just for good measure. Shane Drouin was good, probably better than the line score indicates. Gary showed up. Andrew Vaughn had three hits, including a triple. Garrett Mitchell had three hits, including a triple. Jackson Churio, welcome back to the party. 3-for-6. Everybody in the starting lineup had a hit. 17 hits. And before you say Coors, or before you say it's the Rockies, you can't convince me that this isn't impressive. Because, number one, we talked about this stretch before the Giants series, saying this is your opportunity to go get downhill a little bit, because then it gets tough for the rest of the first half. Now, granted, the Reds have kind of come back down to earth. They're below 500 right now. But as things stand, you're not going to face, after the A's, you're not going to face another team under 500, depending on what happens with the Reds, for the rest of the first half. And before you say, oh, I mean, it's the better team, they're supposed to sweep them, it's baseball, man. That's why we play 162 of them, because the worst team can win on any given night. The Brewers did not deserve to win Friday until they got themselves off the deck on Friday. Heck, they didn't deserve to win this game until they got themselves off the deck in the sixth inning, right? I think the Brewers are a team that we've said this phrase over and over, that their floor is so much higher this year than it was last year. And that's why I believe that this team is better than last year's team. Today was a day they didn't even have Jake Bowers or David Hamilton in the lineup. And facing a lefty, think about all the years that we've seen the Brewers struggle with left-handed pitching. It hasn't meant a single thing to them this season. It's been no big deal. It's really impressive to see a team make adjustments and to know where their weaknesses are, make some changes to the roster, to their player personnel. The Brewers today, with another win against a lefty starter, they're now 12-5 on the season. That's the third best record by winning percentage in baseball, only behind the Rays, the Dodgers, and the Braves are right there with them. It's pretty impressive. Really impressive stuff for given how lefty. Yelly wasn't even in the lineup today. I didn't even mention Yelly, right? This is a really, really, really strong baseball team, and I think you should think the same. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. New high watermark as well, 17 games above 500. We'll be in first place for another week minimum, depending on what happens. Remember, the Cubs are playing Sunday Night Baseball tonight, and then they get ready to go to Vegas, baby. 777, go take on the A's, as they'll be distracted. They'll have outings and all this stuff, but the Brewers are a very good team. Even when there are things to complain about, there are nits to pick at, as we say. But what I see with this team is there are still guys finding their stride. I think we've kind of glossed over the fact that Andrew Vaughn, after breaking his hamate bone and missing more than a month, has come back and has not played every day and has not skipped a beat. In his first 90 plate appearances of the season, he has an 888 OPS. 888. And I'm pulling it up. This won't include today, but here, you know what? Let me go here. I'm using all my sites. I'm using all my sources here. You know, as a Brewer, it's been kind of amazing because he hit over 300 last season with the Brewers. Of course, he had a great postseason as well, specifically against the Cubs. But now, in his Brewer career, including today, as a Brewer, stand by. I know this is riveting radio right now, but Andrew Vaughn is hitting .317 as a Brewer, .874 OPS as a Brewer. He's only played, you know, 344 plate appearances, so that's a little more than half of a season's worth of plate appearances. 10 homers. I can't wait to hit in July that last 162 games for Andrew Vaughn tweet, whenever that comes. We just glossed over the fact that he had three hits today and it's ho-hum. This dude was essentially left on the side of the road by the Chicago White Sox being optioned to AAA Charlotte on one of the worst teams to ever play the game. And the Brewers have resurrected his career. He's hitting fourth behind William Contreras and in front of Gary Sanchez. And the meat of this order carried this offense. Two runs for William, three runs for Andrew, two runs for Gary, two runs for Garrett Mitchell. It's really impressive stuff for the crew. Even with a shaky start, the offense continues to be what shines to me. Yeah, they went 5 for 15 with runners in scoring position. That's good. That's 333. You can never complain about that. And they still left some guys, some ducks on the pond until that sixth inning, right? And until that sixth inning, the Brewers were 0-for with runners in scoring position in this series, aside from the ninth and tenth inning on Friday night. That's a crazy stat. And they still end up here in the month of June being one of the best offenses in the game. So right now, the Brewers have the most runs in baseball in June. Keep in mind, the team in second place still has another game to play. That's the San Francisco Giants. You know how many runs the Giants have? Think about it. 38. The Brewers are 23 runs up on the Giants in the month. The team in second place for runs scored this month. And that includes a series against San Francisco. That includes this sweep against the Rockies. The Brewers, yes, they did what they were supposed to do against a team that they're better than, but then they took it to another level. Not only did they dominate, quite frankly, they kept them down. They took the lead and kept it, with the exception of the ninth inning on Friday. They kept things rolling. The bullpen got much-needed rest after all the chaos the first 24 hours of this trip featured, with Brian Fitzpatrick going on the IL, DL Hall going on the IL, having to call up Drew Rahm, recalling Craig Yoho, now signing Joel Kunal, who didn't get into a game this week. Now he'll have to see his former mates against the A's this week. You give Uribe a breather. You give McGill a breather. You give Ashby a breather. I love it. I mean, it's just exactly what you've checked almost every box from this series that you would have wanted to do, assuming you get a sweep and assuming you're able to continue playing quality baseball. Because there were moments in this game the Brewers were not playing quality baseball, and the weekend for that matter. But nonetheless, the better team won all three games for the weekend. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620. Alex from Oshkosh, bring out the brooms on to Las Vegas. This one from Nick. Let's continue the momentum in Las Vegas. Fastest teams to 40 wins in franchise history. From Doug, no Yelich, no Bowers, no Frelick, no problem. Just a matter of time before getting to this Rockies pitching. 40 wins already and right on target for 100. Hey, I mean, that's a pretty good number, but we don't want to get ahead of ourselves on that. What could the Brewers possibly be doing between now and the end of the season to make their team better? They're, I'm sure, at the drawing board to figure all that stuff out. Let's talk a little bit more about Shane Drouin because, man, the line is misleading, but he still had a quality start at Coors Field as a rookie in his first time ever pitching at Elevation. Let's put some respect on it. Let's talk about Shane, and let's hear from you. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Games right now. I need a third eye somewhere to be talking to the text line and to you. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620. Who's hot? Who's cold? It's brought to you by Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Wisconsin homeowners, are you thinking about a new cooling system? Well, if you are, Cider makes it easy. You can get a virtual quote in under 10 minutes right from home, with short and long-term financing options. Call or visit Cider.com today, Seider.com. Families helping families since 1912. Shane Drouin's hot, man. I think we're starting to maybe generate some momentum toward a Rookie of the Year ballot, because I know from a pitching perspective, all the eyes are going to go to somebody like a Nolan McClain in New York, but kind of hit a speed bump here this last week or so, and I'm sure Shane Geron will hit a speed bump as well. And on the position player side, Connor Griffin and J.J. Weatherholt, granted Connor Griffin's on the IL right now, I just want to point your attention to the lefty out of Florida State, acquired via trade, and what trade? Of course, the Caleb Durbin trade. I said this at the time of the move, after watching video and talking to scouts about this deal. Understandably so, the headline was Kyle Harrison. And yeah, valid prediction from a lot of people. But I kept watching this video from Shane Geron in February, and I'm looking at the numbers, and I'm talking to the people that I talked to, and I'm sitting here, I'm going, why would this guy be included in the deal? You're already getting one dynamic lefty in Kyle Harrison. The Brewers are giving up, yeah, they're a good player in Caleb Durbin, and you're also getting David Hamilton, right? I mean, it just felt very imbalanced where the Brewers gave a depth piece in Anthony Siegler. The Brewers give another piece in this in the fact that Caleb Durbin was going to be on this team. I know that for a fact. They were never going to complain about it, but a piece that you could argue sort of overachieved from a year ago. And then Andre Monasterio, who's a very good role player. But the Brewers now have maybe two of their five starting pitchers, right, with Harrison and Drouin, and an everyday left side infielder with David Hamilton, who's been hot as of late. And I kept looking at this trade. I'm like, why did Drouin get included? And the Brewers did their due diligence in the scouting, and they understood the medical red flags, of course, but you got to look at these numbers and see the dude misses bats. The dude has guys off balance. The dude is coachable. The dude has command. And I said it at the time, you can go find the podcast back in February. I said, this is going to be the sneaky deal. This is going to be the sneaky gem. You're going to be like, wait, how did they get Shane Geron? Did they draft him? Did they get him in some? No, he was in this trade as well. It could go down as one of the most lopsided trades in a long time. We've said the meme over and over, pitching lab go burr. But the truth is, if Matt Arnold is calling you about a pitcher that you haven't called up to the show for some reason, you should probably hang up the phone. Because Shane Geron today, 6 1/3 at Coors, 5 hits, that's misleading. 3 hits, they're all earned, that's misleading. 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. And I know the strikeouts are down because pitches don't move as much at Coors. Strikeouts are always down at Coors. But you had a sunball pop-up in the first inning that Terang lost in the sky. Then a ball overran by Garrett on a weird bounce in center field that led to the first run scoring and the first 2-run scoring, I should say. Aside from that, he allowed 1 other run at Coors Field in the other 6 innings of this contest. Not many rookies are able to do that. And he showed a really mature pitch mix today. We talked about it yesterday with Jacob Mizrowski and how pitches move differently at this altitude and how do you adjust your arsenal in order to do so? Do you have enough tools in your toolkit to combat that? Well, he's got 6 unique pitches. Now, granted, he only threw 1 changeup today, but the sinker took center stage. He threw as many sinkers as he did 4-seamers today. He still got 3 swings and misses on the 4-seamer, 3 swings and misses on the slider, 2 swings and misses on the curveball. He was not giving up loud contact. He was commanding the ball. He only had 1 walk in today's game, too. He's stoic. He throws strikes. I mean, he threw 3/4 of his fastball types, 4-seamer, cutter, sinker. 3/4 of them were strikes. 45 total fastballs thrown. 33 of them were strikes. That's how you succeed at Coors Field. You need to have command with the heater. And he's normally a guy that has a little bit of high arm side run. You're going to have less today, and he still had command going inside to righties, not afraid with that sinker. He's not necessarily generating ground balls with that sinker. He's just getting them off the barrel, right? There's 2 ways that you can operate with a true 2-seamer, because that's what I think Drouin has. There is a difference between a 2-seamer and a sinker. A sinker is meant to get ground balls, right? It is meant to really drop and really not only get off the barrel, but really force your attack angle to be downward. A 2-seamer is almost like a reverse cutter, where it's definitely moving over to the arm side, but it's going to have less drop to it. And I really think Drouin's sinker is more in that variety. Well, he doesn't get as many ground balls with it. He's just getting weak contact with it. Get off my heater, because my heater might be my best pitch. I look at the breakdown here as well on Baseball Savant for Drouin. Of the hard hits he allowed today, that's just balls in play, right? Not just actual hits. Of the 8 hard hit balls put in play today, only one of them was on the four-seamer. He also had a good day with the curveball despite the elevation. 68-mile-an-hour average exit velocity on the curveball. Super impressed. I'm sitting here super impressed with Shane Drouin. And to continue to give him the chance, for him to get into the 7th inning today, over 80 pitches, he's getting stretched out. His next start is most likely against the Phillies. I mean, get excited. Here's your starter. Here's the guy that you always look for to say who's going to step up. Last year, it was Chad Patrick. The year before that, it was Tobias Myers. Who is that guy that's not on the radar that's going to step up? And right now, it's been Shane Drouin. Another great trade made by the Brewers. His season line right now, his rookie year, 3-1, 3.11 ERA, 13 games, 37 2/3 innings. He's even got a multi-inning save coming out to finish a game out of the bullpen. Opponents only hitting .220 against him, 37 punch and 37 2/3 innings, just 2 homers allowed. Just 2 homers allowed. It's amazing. The Brewers have done it again. They found another gem. They found somebody that can help them win games. Maybe he's up sooner than they thought. And he made it interesting in spring training to say, I should be on this roster. They remembered it. They call him up. He had to go back down. He's been back up. He's not going to go back down. One last note overall on the pitching staff here, too. You just got through a series at Coors, you know, a hitter's paradise, obviously, where the Brewers, for the most part, kept the ball in the yard. Right? Yeah, I know they hit a home run today in garbage time off Craig Yoho. So be it. But the Brewers have been one of the best teams in baseball. In fact, the best team in baseball at keeping the ball in the yard. A homer hit is as good as a homer saved, right? You're keeping the opponent from getting on the board that way with home runs. That might be the market inefficiency that the Brewers have really exploited. They go into Coors and play, you know, 28 innings, and they only allow 2 homers at Coors. The market inefficiency that the Brewers are exploiting right now is, okay, maybe he doesn't strike out the world, or maybe he doesn't have the loudest velo in the world, but he keeps the ball in the park. The Brewers have allowed the fewest home runs in baseball to this point in the season. We talk a lot about how the Brewers aren't hitting homers, but the benefit is the fact that they're not allowing them either. So they're bringing teams down to their level saying, you got to play like we do, and we know your lineup can't handle that because so many lineups aren't able to generate runs the way the Brewers are able to. Now, and then you get a day like today where all of a sudden out of nowhere, they're hitting homers like they did yesterday with 5 solo homers. Today, Gary hits a homer. You get extra base hits, and it's good night. Just love what we've seen from Shane Drouin and the rest of this pitching staff. He is in this rotation firm. You know, sharpie him for the next start, likely against the Phillies, imagining he'd probably go on the Sunday to Sunday cadence, given the off day on Thursday. And there's another off day on Monday. So use it to your advantage. Excited. Get to some of these texts, get to some of the chats over on YouTube, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620, right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers win 12-4. I'm all over the place with the numbers today. I was just deep in the stat head and talking about some other stuff that kind of caught my radar as our buy or sell segment approaches here. Get to some texts as well. Chef Ed, relentless. They never stop coming at you. Arnold needs to go get Scooble. I don't know about that. Can you imagine Miz, Harrison, and Scooble in a playoff series? No, I can't, but that would be epic. Do you think we should push all in? I'll get to that in this segment. This one from the 414, what a game on both sides of this squad. I would say that Jake McCarthy could be a good player for the crew in the trade. And will Drew Rom be here long-term or sent down when Cannon comes back? It's a good question. So on the Drew Rom front, I believe he has one option remaining. I'm just double-checking my source right now on that. He has 2 options remaining. So it could be Rom. It could be somebody else. Because remember, right now the Brewers are also carrying Craig Yoho. They also have Joel Kunal, who they kind of signed to be the mop-up guy in the meantime until Kanan comes back. We'll see what they ultimately decide to do. But the fact that Rom has options kind of leaves him vulnerable to being optioned. But hey, if he performs well, he can stick around perhaps on that front. This one from Jacob and Tosa. What do you think of the Brewers having to play another wild card series while being one of the best teams in the league to this point? Hang with them. Play better. It may sound a little blunt, but that I truly believe in the democracy of the wild card, right? And I think that the balanced schedule really kind of shakes this argument from a lot of other people where, you know, maybe in years past, you would see a team, you know, let's say a couple of years ago, like the NL West, where both the Giants and Dodgers won over 100 games because both the Diamondbacks and Rockies were really, 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 really bad. Or like last season in the AL Central, or two seasons ago in the AL Central, when the White Sox were historically bad, everybody's records were a little bit better that season because they get to play so many games against their division. But it's a lot more balanced this season, aside from the American League West, where there are so few tanking teams, right? The Angels stink, the Rockies stink. We know that. But aside from that, everyone gives you a battle. And even the teams that have bad records, like the Giants, Bruce just split with them, and the Giants have a chance to win a series against the Cubs at Wrigley, right? I think the whole argument of, but they have such a great record. They have the third best record in baseball. How can they be in the wild card round? They can have a say in that. They get, you know, they could have won that series against the Dodgers, and they didn't. They'll have a series coming up with the Braves in 2 weeks. Maybe that can help them out. But that's my take on that. If you don't like it, play better. It's the old minor league baseball motto. But hey, if there's any a team that's more experienced in the Brewers in the wild card round and hosting it, and maybe understanding, you know what? Let's just be that team that's hot, right? Be that team that, okay, we're in the wild card round, so be it. Win those three and then move on to the DS and stay hot. Just keep playing baseball, right? And see what can happen to keep everybody on their routines. Jeff from Elkhorn, thanks for the points on Drouin. I'm excited to see what the Brewers front office does to enhance their roster by either trade or call-up. I would like to see a veteran starting pitcher to help the young guns through the long season, get a bullpen arm or two, but more importantly, get some more bats and find a way to win the series in Vegas. Appreciate that, Jeff. You're right on the front office. I mean, they're analyzing that right now. And I want to remind everybody as we talk about Tarek Skubal. Everyone's assuming Tarek Skubal is going to be traded. He went 5 shutout today in his rehab outing in High A with West Michigan. He's probably only going to do one more rehab outing, then he's back in the show. The Tigers are hot. The Tigers are playing better baseball again. And I remind you, the American League is so clustered. They have no reason to trade him unless they absolutely know they're going to miss the playoffs. Because right now, yes, they're 9.5 back in the Central. In the wild card, Detroit's only 5.5 back. But you look at the teams that are ahead of them. Just gut feeling in your head. Are the Tigers, who beat a series against the Brewers when they were healthy, of course, when the Brewers were not healthy, are the Tigers better than the Red Sox? Yes, undoubtedly. Are the Tigers better than Houston? I think so. Are the Tigers better than Minnesota? Undoubtedly. And the divisional opponent, they'll be able to steal some wins from them. Are the Tigers better than Baltimore? I think so. Are the Tigers better than the A's? I think so. And then boom, then it becomes, are the Tigers better than the Blue Jays? And that's where the first real hesitation comes. So that's why I'm not counting out Detroit. I don't think they're going to trade Skubal. They've already got so much invested into this season that they're saying the same thing that you and I are saying. Wow, imagine a postseason rotation with Tarek Skubal, Casey Mize, and Framber Valdez. Get what I'm saying? So unless they go on an L10 and it's so clear that they're going to trade Skubal, I'm not going to entertain the thought, right? Because as we've said over and over and over again, they really need offense. And there's not a lot of offense available right now, especially because the American League is so clustered of who's going to spread, who's going to sprint and get out and actually be a contender. And then here in the National League, there just isn't a lot of love to share. I don't know what to make of Arizona, especially now that Corbin Burns is going to be out till September. Maybe you go make a call on Arenado, but he's owed a lot of money over the next couple of seasons. Got to get Arizona to eat some of the money. Then you got to give up a better prospect. Miami's intriguing, Do you go get somebody? I mean, we've talked about, it seems like we've talked about Sandy Alcantara being on the trading block every year for the last few years. Is there anyone else there? Is there a bullpen arm? Is there a Pete Fairbanks that you want, given he's on a one-year deal down there in Miami? I do think an arm would be helpful on an expiring deal, of course. This one made me laugh, Zach and Racine. What if we snagged Freddy Peralta as a free agent, as a rental? I mean, the Mets probably have to think about it here pretty soon. What do they have to trade? They're up on the Padres right now. They're up 7-2 heading to the bottom of the ninth. They've been playing better baseball as of late. But taking a peek at them, the Mets are currently 28-36. Jeez, I didn't realize it was that bad. And the National League being so much better than the American League, 500 is not going to cut it to be a playoff team. I mean, the Cubs and the Diamondbacks and the Padres are all right around three games above 500 and hold the last wild card spot. So it's going to be tough for the Mets. I wanted to talk about Garrett Mitchell, but the buy or sell aspect of this on the trade deadline is I'm buying offense still and a bullpen arm. I'd listen on a starter, but I don't think the Brewers are in need of that, because I also want to remind you, heading into the postseason, starters get shortened. It just happens. I know Yamamoto and Snell and those guys were dominant last year. They're freaks. The way the Brewers operate is you're going to see days, depending on the opponent, if they're into the postseason, that it will be Ashby open for two innings, Chad Patrick follow, Shane Drouin, then see where you're at. And then you'll have the traditional start of Jacob Mizorowski and Kyle Harrison, right? It gets a little different in the postseason, so keep that in mind. So buy it. Do you sell it? Let me know. It's brought to you by your friends at Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates. One of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, empowered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WendorfTeam.kw.com. We'll go until the bottom of the hour as we cross 6 o'clock here locally. Remember, all these shows are podcasted as well. Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcast. Brewers All Access. Back with more in a moment on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers win 12-4. Player of the game's quite the poll. You know, you can go Gary for giving the Brewers a lead with his two-run homer. You could go Garrett Mitchell, three extra base hits today. More on him in a moment. You could go Andrew Vaughn, three hits and a triple. I think I got to go with Shane Drouin, you know, pitching this well at Coors. You know, the Rockies went 0-6 with runners in scoring position today. Pretty impressive stuff. The Brewers are a team that, honestly, by the sum of its parts, become lethal. You need a little bit of something from everybody. Now, on a day like today, when everybody gets a hit, that's not expected, of course, but they're on a roll. Player of the game, though, you make your call. My call is Shane Drouin. It's brought to you by our friends at International Autos Group. Right now, at International Autos Group, you can drive in a summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit iamilwaukee.com, International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. You know, for Garrett Mitchell, there are some numbers that I could, you know, hit you over the side of the head with saying, math, right? This guy's good. And yes, there are those numbers that agree with what I'm about to say. But you look at it for Garrett, since he's been making an adjustment to his swing, understanding he is getting bullied at the top of the zone right now. And, well, I shouldn't say right now, not anymore, right? He is going to always swing and miss. I think you need to understand that there's a certain level of production that you need if you're going to live with other flaws, right? And Garrett Mitchell is one of those guys that you got to live with a 30 to 33% strikeout rate. He's going to strike out a third of the time. But the other two-thirds, he's going to hit the ball hard or he's going to draw a walk. He's a three true outcomes in a way. But I just want to pull up the team's numbers. This is going back to May 14th. The reason why I picked that date, that's when he told me he was making an adjustment to his stance. It was the finale of the Padres series. All right, and I'm pulling up his exit velocity numbers. I'm pulling up some of the other stuff underneath the hood right now for Garrett Mitchell. But a reminder that Garrett's hitting 327 over this time. Since now almost a month, just a week shy of a month. In total games played over this stretch, that's 17 games. That's currently 59 plate appearances, so a little low. He sometimes sits against lefties. But again, since May 14th, Garrett Mitchell leads the team in average exit velocity. He leads, or is, I should say, third on the team, second on the team in batting average, only behind Andrew Vaughn. He is second on the team in OPS, only behind Jake Bowers. So he's going to be having a bit of a hill to climb here to erase that tough first month with all the strikeouts he had. And I'm not saying he suddenly solved the strikeout issue. He still has 70 strikeouts in his last 196, in his first 196 plate appearances this season. But the other thing about Garrett in this stretch, he has 18 punch in those 59 plate appearances. So that's lower than his season average on strikeouts. That's a 31% strikeout rate. Yes, it's still higher than league average, but he entered this stretch at like 43%. So we are seeing improvement from Garrett Mitchell. Him in the middle of his order. Also, getting the nod against a left-handed pitcher today. He struggled in his first two at-bats, then got things going. Continue to let it grow. This dude missed virtually 2 years of baseball and is now starting to see the benefits of the Brewers being patient with him and letting him hit and find his way to success in the big leagues. Just wanted to point that out. A couple of texts. Why are we talking about trades? Talking about Joey and Blake on this team. Well, when you talk about Cooper Pratt here, Jacob, the Brewers said at the day that they signed him, signing him to the extension gives them the time to say, we will call him up when Cooper is ready. Right? And you may be thinking, oh, Dom, that's eyewash. That's just team PR speak. It's both right and wrong. There's no pressure on Cooper to perform down in AAA right now saying, you're going to be a big leaguer. The Brewers agree. You are going to be a big leaguer. Let us know when you're ready, sort of thing. And the Brewers are not going to call up Cooper Pratt unless they know he's going to play every day in the big leagues. And right now, maybe you think about Renjifo, you think about Hamilton, what you're doing on that left side of the infield. Hamilton's been swinging a hot bat. It was good to see Renjifo get back on track. You can have this thought in your mind like, oh, he's just going to come up and tear the cover off the ball. You don't know that. AAA in the majors is a massive difference. Massive difference. So I do think, I still believe one of the following, Pratt, Williams, or Lara will be up by the end of this month. I believe that wholeheartedly. Because again, I've said this before, I'll say it again. If the Brewers were making a move or a call up solely on big league performance, they would have already done so. And it's not like Cooper Pratt's hitting 350 with a 950 OPS down in AAA either. All right, so it works both ways there. Question one, I mentioned Logan Henderson for postseason rotation. He'll be in it. Probably more as a reliever, though. I think right now, if I'm looking at the three that I have that I know can start a postseason game for me right now, you got Miz, you got Harrison, and look, assuming he comes back healthy, I'm putting Woodruff in there. Those are my three traditional starters. Now, beyond that, do I have some combination of Henderson, Drouin, Gasser, Patrick, Ashby, these five tweeners? It's pretty useful as well. We'll talk about that once we get closer to playoff time. Let's hear from the manager, Pat Murphy. He's up next here on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers get the victory today, 12-4. Now it's on to Las Vegas. Some more late night games. Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcast to catch all the post game shows if you don't want to stay up late with us. I'm Dominic Catronio. Let's hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, after a sweep of the Rockies in Denver for the first time in 12 years.
Absolutely great. You know, he had some bad luck in the first inning. We didn't catch a pop up in the sun. We misplayed a ball in center field. And that led to the two runs. So unlucky on that. He gets those two earned runs, and really those are two misplays. And he was great after that. he was great before that. I mean, he was great all day. Underrated, great performance, this kid. And he's been unbelievable all year for us and doesn't get the credit. Gary Sanchez also deserves what he did with him, jockey him through, and, yeah, really impressed with him.
What did you see that he did so well to be able to get through seven?
Yeah, he's just poised as hell. You know, he's poised as hell. He attacks the zone. He's not afraid to throw any pitch in any count. That heater, sneaky, really, really good. Two-seamer's good. You know, he's basically throws five pitches and commands all of them, you know. Yeah, this kid's special.
How satisfying was it to come in here and take care of business?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can get wins here, it's a very tough place to play. And, you know, they've got some injuries and they're very young. But, you know, again, facing Freeland, you know, the guy knows how to pitch and he's been real successful against us. It was again today. It's hard to win a major league game on the road. It's hard to win a major league game, period. Take nothing for granted. You know, anybody can beat anybody on any given day, and we happen to come out, you know, on top these three games.
What do you think of Gary? I mean, his swing discipline through this, I guess, home run slump has kind of remained the same. How proud of you were that you made that, you know, discipline?
It's not a home run slump. Yeah, he hasn't got the at-bats. I mean, like, he's got six home runs and less than 100 at-bats. I don't know. How many does he have? Do anybody know?
Six.
But how many at-bats?
Around what you said.
Around 100.
I mean, that bodes well, right? If you play a full season every day and you get 600 at-bats, what's 6 times 6?
3 and 6.
And 3 and 6 is 9.
It's nice to see him go return to his. I mean,
he
almost had two.
I wouldn't call it a home run slump, but I know what you meant. You know, I know what you meant. He easily could have had two on a normal day, but yeah, he's been great, unsung for us. We had a lot of good performances. Vaughn, you know, Mitchell came on strong, had some great at bats. Joey Ortiz had good at bats. You know, Churio had great at bats. Contreras had a couple. You know, Turan comes up big in a big situation. You know, this is a 3-1 game in the sixth. Am I right? So.
You guys traditionally have been patient at the plate in early in counts, but it seems like this series, especially today, I mean, Jackson had all three hits on the first pitch. Gary's home run was on the first pitch. Was that something that you guys kind of did consciously, or, you know, thinking about this ballpark, or just in general?
I mean, it's nothing we do intentionally. You know, you're trying to be a master of the ball strike. You're trying to get the pitch you want to hit early in the count. That's no secret. You know what I mean? There's no secret plan for that. It's thinking too deep into it, really. We got some aggressive guys that are swinging the bat good and are confident. So sometimes that leads to early swings.
Heard you told Jackson, it gave Jackson a bit, tongue-in-cheek, a bit of a hard time about not having a hit yet this series, and then he comes out, swings early, and has three hits today.
Yeah. Yeah, that's accurate.
Okay.
It's good coaching.
Thanks, Soph.
As one of your elite baseball minds pointed out, did you notice you guys hit the cycle in the first four batters of the sixth?
I usually go to those elite minds for those type of tidbits. I probably didn't mention that.
Featuring me.
Or didn't realize it. I told him he'd never have one again. Don't worry about it. Trying to be positive with him, you know.
This is a day off for Christian, right?
Day off for Christian, day off for Bowers. You know, they needed it.
I mean, and the Brewers didn't skip a beat. 12 runs, dominated a team that they are better than in the Rockies. So let's relive it. Highlights coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho, ho, ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Brewers and Rockies, finale of the three-game series. Shane Drouin getting the ball for the Crew up against one of the longest-tenured Rockies in Kyle Freeland. However, it did not start great for the Brewers. They made two misplays in the first, lost a sun ball, overran a ball in center. You blink, and it's already 2-0 Rockies with the lead, but no fret. The Brewers avoid the shutdown inning in the second from an unlikely source.
3-1.
Renjifo rocket into center. That's down for a base hit. It splits the gap. It's going to roll all the way to the warning track and all the way to the wall. Vaughn around third. He's going to score standing up. It's an RBI double for Luis Renjifo on one of the hardest hit balls you'll see him hit all year.
It was his hardest hit ball of the season, 108 off the bat. So the Brewers on the board, 2-1, they would leave him stranded. Shane Drummond would then hit cruise control from there. He only would allow one hit over his next three innings. However, the Brewers were still struggling with Kyle Freeland. We fast forward now to the sixth inning. The inning began with the top of the order, and Jackson Churio, or rather the three-hitter, I should say, William Contreras, soft single and left with two strikes. That was after winning a challenge, mind you. Then Andrew Vaughn sends one, and good luck with the thin air in
2-1. And a liner into right center field. That's headed for the gap, and a diving attempt by McCarthy. He doesn't come up with it. It's going to roll all the way to the wall. Around third is Contreras. He's going to score. On his way to third is Vaughn with a stand-up RBI triple. It is 3-2 Rockies.
His fifth career triple. All right, Brewers are in this fight, only down by a run. Kyle Freeland now chased from the game. They go to the righty, Jaden Hill. The first pitch he throws, greeted rudely by the Kraken, Gary Sanchez.
First pitch swinging, a drive, deep left. How far will it go? Gary Sanchez, a two-run blast, and the Brewers take the lead here in Denver. 4-3 Milwaukee.
It's been almost 2 months since his last home run, and Gary comes through, gives him the lead that they would not relinquish. Garrett Mitchell then would hit a double off the wall. Renjifo would draw a walk. Then Perkins would get a bunt single. It would load the bases for who else but Joey Ortiz, and he drew a walk. So that's another RBI for the crew. They keep things rolling against Jaden Hill. Churio would pop out with the bases loaded, but Terang would come through to add even more.
A one ground ball through the right side and into right field, a base hit. Renjifo is in. Rounding third is Perkins. He will score. Sliding into third is Ortiz. It is a two-run single for Bryce Terang. It is 7-3 Milwaukee. The Brewers have plated six runs in this inning.
They would even add another one with an RBI ground out from William Contreras and really never look back from there. Just for good measure, let's get some insurance in the ninth, shall
we? Thompson's first pitch to Mitchell. A fly ball to center. Pushing back McCarthy. Still back at the track at the wall. It's off of his glove and then bounces off the wall. Vaughn will score. Sanchez around third. He's going to score. Sliding into third with a two-run triple is Garrett Mitchell, and it is 11-3 Milwaukee.
Just for good measure, they'd get one more there. Shane Drouin would earn the win, going 6 1/3 in today's game. The Brewers stomp the Rockies 12-4 and earn the sweep in Denver. They are now a season high 17 games above 500 at 40-23. Now it's on to Vegas. We preview that series next on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers get the victory, and now they try to take their winnings, put it on 17 black, and let it ride. Vegas, baby! Brewers going to play the A's. The A's are playing these regular season games in Vegas as part of a preview for potential season ticket holders and all this stuff. They're not there for another 2 years, the A's are. Their ballpark is currently being constructed at the end of the strip near the MGM. And the, you know, the strategy for the A's is to go and to entertain and to show that baseball could come. The ballpark that they're playing in this week, though, is their AAA ballpark. The Las Vegas Aviators is their AAA home in the PCL. The Brewers tomorrow, they will send Kyle Harrison to the mound. He grew up he's a Bay Area guy, more on the East Bay. He did not grow up an A's or a Giants fan. He really grew up an Angels fan, in his own words, but still gets to see a team that he's attended plenty of games against. Jeffrey Springs, the lefty, goes on the other side. Veteran lefty, he's bounced around the last couple of seasons. He gets the ball for the A's. Then on Tuesday, by the way, 9:05 first pitch, so we are up late getting ready for that one. Tuesday, Robert Gasser against JT Ginn. And Ginn has been one of the kind of underrated stories over in the American League. He's got a 2.74 ERA. He carried a no-hitter into the ninth inning against the Angels. Heartbreakingly lost it on a walk-off homer by Zach Neto. 65 Ks and 60 innings pitched, sub 200 opponent average. JT Ginn is going to be a tough test for the Brewers coming up on Tuesday. That is also at 9:05. And then on Wednesday night, 8:05, they moved it up for us. Thank goodness. That is TBD for the Brewers. It could be Coleman Crow. It could be a bullpen day against Jack Perkins, a right-hander for the A's. The A's are currently three games under 500. But hey, it's Vegas. The ball flies. It's windy. It's hot. It's going to be triple-digit heat down there in Vegas in an outdoor ballpark. So pitchers beware. It is going to be tough down there just like it was in Colorado this week. That is going to do it for our program. Again, tell your friends, Brewers All Access is the name of the podcast. If you don't want to stay up, don't worry. It'll be in your podcast feed first thing in the morning. You can catch up on everything you missed in the games this week. Then the Brewers are back home on Friday against the Phils. Thank you so much for listening. Our producer has been Evan Witalison. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers sweep in Denver. Now it's on to Vegas. Until next time, keep on swinging.